just a pretty straight line.
I think it was so right up on your mouth and nose last time that we were hearing frickin' everything. It was like Darth Vader on a respirator.
Is it really? Is it really?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I try to go back and nip that stuff out, but also...
Oh, you know what? Somebody wrote me and said it sounded like there were slee stacks in the background. And I was like, and I went back and listened to it, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you recording? Is everybody recording?
Yeah, I'm recording now.
Oh, shoot. You didn't get any of that?
Yeah, no, I'm recording.
Any of that gold?
No, I got it.
All right.
Oh, heavens.
Are you Andy?
I am recording. Oh, no, I wasn't recording the actual thing here.
Oh, see.
I'm press this button.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm doing it.
Oh.
Well, no, I was recording at home.
Okay.
I just wasn't recording the overall zoomage.
Because that's some gold right there. That's some gold.
If people only knew the things that we go through to try to make this thing work, the recording, we record it on Zoom, and then we also record it in each of our locales, yes. And then I get all of that audio and try to stick it together, and it's like trying to make sausage.
This show is literally just a big ball of duct tape.
And I think since we started this, Josh's file has been something different every single time he sent it to you. So one of these days we're going to hit it, and then
every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be our last podcast. The day we get it right.
That's right.
Exactly. It'll be time to hang.
Are we finally
up.
Cooling, calling this thing off? Is there an end date?
That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay, this is the one. All right, our farewell show. Let's do it right.
Right when you learn the phone number.
People that you know don't like you and treasure friendships in. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Yeah, here we are.
We're here.
Yeah. Oh, I used to love Land of the Lost when I was a kid, by the way.
Nobody's going to understand what that means.
What? Yeah, I think we have some slee stack mentionage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I think it might survive the whole thing.
I had a roommate that had a ceramic slee stack head in his room for some reason.
Oh, my God. I went to, I've told you about this before when we were talking about H.R. Puffin stuff, right, and seeing Witchy Poo. Yeah. I went to the Sid and Marty Krofft auction like 23 years ago. It happened at the Beverly Hills Hilton. Uh-huh. And right, like, you know, within a 6 months of me getting to LA, and I'm like, God, I gotta go see that, right? They had like a slee stack
costume,
yeah. And people were bidding on it. I just know this. I know that when the actual auction happened, they had phone bids coming in from an unidentified bidder.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it.
And it went up to like $1 million for a slee stack outfit.
Those things literally just asparagus, right?
Yeah.
That's all they are. It's just somebody looked at asparagus and said, okay, I got an idea. That's all they are, just asparagus.
It's an asparagus monster.
Exactly. If somebody's going to pay $1 million for one of those costumes, do they realize that it's probably going to show up in tatters and they deteriorate? I think there's some story I read about a guy who bid on one of the Cowardly Lion outfits from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
and
right.
Like every 10 years or so, they have to have it it's basically been redone and reupholstered so many times because they just disintegrate. They're just, yeah, you know, made out of materials that were never meant to stand the test of time. They were meant to just get through the frickin' movie.
The Michael Keaton Batman outfit is just like, I think that like recently went up for auction, and they were like zooming in on all the imperfections of it, and it just showed you how crappily it was made. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was just to get through the seat, this dark scene anyway. It was just all this foam was just falling off of it, and it was like, needs a little attention. Like, yeah, my ass.
It's a fixer upper.
Apparently, he said, I think it was on Letterman or something. He said when he was filming Batman, he said the mask, the head thing,
yeah,
said it was like a fucking vice. It's just, you know, the whole thing.
He never moves his head. It's just like, when he tries to look up, it's like he has to move his back and arch it to look up.
Yeah,
like,
that costume apparently was notoriously impossible to do anything in. If you watch that first Batman, which is really great, and Michael Keaton might be my favorite Batman.
It doesn't hold up well.
But it's fun, but you do notice things like that, like, oh, he's barely moving at all. It's like, maybe he can get an arm, you know, to throw a batarang or whatever.
Right.
I think I told you, one of my biggest parenting fails was a couple of years ago showing the original Batman to Silas. Because he was way into Batman. He was way into superheroes and stuff. I'm like, well, you know, we could watch that, right? The first Batman.
Because in
Michael
memory,
Keaton.
It's kind of cartoony and ridiculous.
In memory, it's very cartoony. Holy God.
Oh, it's disturbing.
It's violent. Yeah. As all get out, it's you know, kind of suggestive in other parts. It was really, I felt bad. I'm like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, and when the whole smiley stuff starts with, you know, people look grotesque and freaky. Yeah. No, it's a nightmare. It's Tim Burton. And everything Tim Burton does is a freaking nightmare.
Nicholson goes and shoots up Jack Palance. My God. I'm like, what am I doing here?
Can we just get this out of the way? And say that Batmobile is the worst Batmobile of all the movie Batmobiles.
I don't know. I think the stuff.
It's just dumb looking. It's like a super long boat. Okay. its cockpit is dumb and so you got like a jet engine in the front of it and it needs to use like a grappling hook to make turns. Okay, what happens when there's nothing there, Batman? I guess you're just not going to turn. It's so stupid. And I've had this argument with many people. That is the worst Batmobile of all the Batmobiles.
I don't know. I think the era of like Batman and Robin and what's a bad director's name who took over?
The TV show?
The show? The 60?
No. I'm talking about the one who took over for Tim Burton and did the George Clooney and the Clooney? Val Kilmer.
Yeah, when they became bat nipples.
Yeah, I think everything in the design of those movies is terrible. So I've never seen them.
By the way. The Bat Nipples is a great name for a band.
And who decided on that? That was like, there was like Alicia Silverstone was in that.
Yeah.
As Batgirl. And why did they give her Bat Nipples?
Do we even know? Does a bat have? I guess a bat would have nipples, wouldn't it? According to Meet the Parents, you can milk anything.
Well, what the heck? I don't understand. And like, and they're like silver.
She's the best part of it.
I've never seen it. I don't know. I saw the costume. Like, what the hell is happening here?
Well, as long as we're talking superheroes, hating to bring the room down, but I can't go without pouring one out for King T'Challa and Chadwick Boseman, I don't know why I'm so sad about that. Other than that, he's got so much talent and so much life left, and that just came out of the frickin' blue in fucking 2020. How many more things can you throw at us?
I know. Just like another kick in the balls. Like, when's the next one coming?
Black Panther was what 2020 needed in the worst way.
Yeah.
In the worst way, and to have that taken away really, really sucked.
Yeah. But just really such, and everything, you know, take away the Marvel superhero aspect of it, which brought him to just a worldwide, you know, level of fame. But, you know, the work he did in 42 about Jackie Robbins, he did a James Brown biopic. It's just like everything he's ever done. He's just so elegant and just smooth and amazing. And by all accounts, the nicest, most open, warm person in the world, and kept all this secret from people. You know, just didn't tell anybody that he was in such pain this whole time.
By the way, this is one more teachable moment to go get a colonoscopy. If you're 50 and you haven't done it yet, what is your fucking problem? If you're 40 and you've got family history of it, go do it. Because if they can take these things out, if you have a polyp and they can take it out, you don't get the cancer. It's a really awful way to go. colon cancer would be one of the worst. Right. And go and see a doctor, have your colonoscopy. That's why I did it on the fucking radio. Do you think I really wanted a doctor going up my ass to be my calling card
in
Los Angeles radio?
Are you still annual right now? Are you still going every...
No, I'm due again. I'm every 3 years.
Oh, but, oh. Your artificial friend's Zoom colonoscopy.
No,
yes.
Thank you. No, thank you. I'll pass.
I don't know. What would happen, Josh? Is that what would happen, Josh?
I already forgot.
do you want to set up the whole thing?
I need that as my ringtone.
It's kind of musical, really.
I was just about to say it's like a game.
It's kind of like, you know what it is? It's the new Addams Family doorbell.
Probably.
You rang.
It's a human auga.
Each one of those gags has its own personality.
Do you want to set up the full thing?
I want to hear them next to each other. The auga and the...
Okay, here we go. He probably ate it.
Oh, God.
You gotta tell people what we're talking about.
One of my favorite things in the world is hearing Josh gag. And anytime there's an opportunity to tell a story about maggots or mucus or rotten chicken, whatever it is that we can get Josh to start to heave a little bit. Of course, we milk it for all we can until he gets to that point where his gag reflex takes over. This week, I think it was on Monday of this past week, Josh sends Larry and I a little text, yes. And it's an audio file.
He fulfills a promise that he has made for some time, that in the moment he would catch this for posterity.
But he told us it was already a couple of minutes into the episode.
Oh,
yeah.
But it starts. Well, are we going to hear it now?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Do we need any background? Or he kind of explains it.
He explains it.
It's a dog incident.
Yes. And at the time this started, I was sitting at my desk working. And I'll just set the scene. I'm kind of focused.
Okay.
Business time, Josh. And
so now we take you to the home office of one Josh Flieger on an ordinary Monday.
The dog puked. Underneath my desk while that was working. My wife's cleaning it up. I got tears in my eyes.
Oh. Poor Cindy.
Maybe it's done. Maybe that's
She's
it.
She's it out. She's wiping it up. Did you see it?
No.
It's on the pillow.
It's done.
He probably is. Yeah, but I'll get out of the room. Oh, I can't take this.
And scene.
So good. That made my week.
I had like one that happens like once every couple weeks, something like that happens, right? And like every single time when I've recovered, I'm like, damn it, I forgot to just put it on voice memo just to prove that this isn't a that, like when they're really bad, that like they're bad to the point now where my child is like, get out of the room, Dad. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, it sounds like it's an all hands on deck event. Like it's a Star Trek, you know.
you know what it is? It's that horn that they play when the sub crash dives that they've been caught by the destroyers. It goes, wah, bang, 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 bang. All hands on deck. Everybody scrambles. Like, I just jetted out of the room. And I'm like, the dog. I had to go get my wife, who's also working, and my child's in school.
Having that recording is fantastic, but can I ask you a couple of follow-up questions?
Sure, sure.
Are you sitting at the desk where the dog puked?
Yes.
You are. Now, can you still smell in the carpet?
No,
if you got down there, could you get down there real quick?
No.
And just on your hands and knees and see if you can smell the puke in the carpet still.
It wasn't puke.
He's trying. He's trying.
It was like this foamy.
Was it bile? It was bile.
Was it biley and foamy?
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing there, Andy.
It was like this yellow foam.
And follow-up question over here, Mr. Flieger. Did the dog lick up the... Did the dog actually re-ingest the bile foamy...
Stop. I'm putting it on mute. I don't want
This is a disappointment. You know why? I realize now that Josh could never give me a blowjob.
Well, it would just be, minutes and minutes. Well, it would be at least 2 minutes of this.
He probably is. So what happened is
worst porn ever.
And there's probably a group of people though that are really into that.
There is a category on Pornhub for
there's a niche puke market. Ring the bell on that one, please. But I was sitting here and we got a pillow for the dogs underneath my desk because they just follow me around everywhere, and when I work they sleep underneath the desk, and I was working and all of a sudden I heard the girl dog go, and I was just like, oh no. And then I looked down like underneath my desk and I saw this yellow foam on the pillow. and that's when I pulled the alarm and ran out of the room and got my wife. And by the time she came back, I think the dog had chowed it all down.
You know, that's a beginning of a pretty good beat right there. Just to record the.
Yeah.
I'm a mess.
It's like standing outside a rave.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay.
That's so good.
Yeah. Oh, how are we going to top that, boys? I don't know. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I did do a little research because I did come up with the in lieu of my bell ringing. And,
oh, nice.
But I also discovered this, one of my favorite, I believe, Hanna-Barbera sound effects, which I used to great annoyance in the 80s. The I think that's probably a quick draw McGraw as Cabal.
El Cabal. Yeah.
So I've got those handy. So Josh, you got to work on your whipper whistle.
I'll just gag.
Well, I got that.
that's amazing.
I love that. I gotta have that for my ringtone. That's just anytime Josh is calling me. That's delightful. Holy God. Well, to lighten the mood just a little bit, fellas.
More than that?
I just figured you'd want to know that the misters are complete.
Oh.
And they're mysteriously wonderful.
Do you just stand there shirtless, soaking in the mist?
Dude, I just go over and I turn the little valve. I turn the valve over by the house that I had put in, and psh, I got mist. All over the place. It's glorious.
That's pretty nice.
Really lowers the temp, like 20 degrees outside. It's fantastic.
And you got another smoking hot weekend coming up for Labor Day, too.
Yeah, it's going to be 100 degrees. Yeah, 100 degree days this Labor Day.
No, big old heat wave coming through on the weekend.
Yeah, it's coming. And I'm going to be sitting right here. Next, if we do a podcast next week, it's got to be on Sunday, because on Saturday, I'm right here. This is the control center.
For what?
Is where I will be doing my draft, my Zoom with 11 other guys all around the country and around the world. Because one of them, one of my buddies is, I can say who it is, I'm sure. It's Courtland Cox.
Right.
You've mentioned Courtland
before.
Yeah. He was Cordy, the producer of Kevin and Bean. That's what, when I first came to LA, that's what he was doing. Back in the days of, Mr. Burcham and when Jimmy Kimmel was on doing the sports and Doc on the Rock and all that. So that's where he was. Then he came over to Y107 and did the morning show there with Chris Hardwick for a while. And then, you know, we've been friends ever since then. But he has become an executive producer of TV, and he produces the show for Bravo, Below Decks.
Oh, really? My wife loves that show.
Yeah, he makes that show. But what happens is they send him to film the shit every year, like the middle of August, the third week of August. He has to go off to Crete or Greece,
Thailand or
British Virgin Islands or somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's never, I think he's been to the draft one time. I brought him into the league like 10 years ago. He's been there once. When we were all in Cape Cod, it was great. We were the only straight guys walking down the street in Cape Cod, past all these antique shops and so forth. But anyway, here's where I'll be. This is going to be the control center. I'll have my Zoom with 11 other guys. I'll have my draft software and everything going over here. Uh-huh. This is going to be it right here.
Here's my real question. After, when they cancel the season after week four, are you going to feel like you maybe wasted a little bit of your life?
No.
No? Of course not.
No, because
we've tried to get him to feel like this is pointless, Josh, and to no avail. He is digging in.
Well, there are a couple of things that happen here. Number one, we have something special in our league. I've mentioned this before. It's instead of having a keeper league, but nobody wanted to do that, where you end up having people who, you get to keep your players year to year. Then, you know, somebody who's really good at it or really lucky at it ends up building a dynasty, and it's not even competitive for everybody else. We didn't want that. But we also wanted a way to kind of reward people for picking good talent in the first place. So what we came up with is this idea of a franchise tag. You can keep one player, not the most important 24 players, the best 24, the most expensive ones, but below that, below a certain value, you can keep those players, one of them, for 1 year at the same price you paid before. So whatever we draft this time, that will set up 2021. So it's crucial to do this, but more important,
crucial.
It's crucial.
It's funny. He acts like there's going to be a 2021.
You think the planet's going to explode before?
I don't know what's going on next.
That's as good a bet as anything right now.
Yeah. Yep. But more than anything, it's important for me to be able to insult and denigrate and ridicule these 11 other people.
You have your heart in the right place, and I apologize.
Yeah, that's right.
I take back everything I said, because this is the true meaning of sports. So
yes. I want to make other people genuinely feel bad.
Yeah, we play the game.
I'll use humor, to deliver that hurt and that denigration, but I mean it. I really want them to feel bad.
Yes.
Well, but they're also utilizing those same weapons against you. And,
yes. Most and we'll laugh it off, but it's all really, really very sincere. Yeah.
So it's very possible that if we do a podcast the following day, you could be in absolutely the best of spirits, or you could be just a beaten down shell of a man.
I'll be hungover is what I'll be.
Well.
let's be honest about it.
All right. Well, either way, it's going to be probably really interesting or incredibly boring, because you'll have to tell us all about it.
Yeah. It's going to be about 10 hours of me sitting right here.
Jesus.
Drinking and smoking and
now,
just...
Now, have you actually done like research?
Because the last time we asked you, you said no.
No, yeah, I haven't done any.
Are you going to?
Last night, I watched... TV. I watched like Inside the NFL or whatever it was whatever that show's called. Inside Fantasy, whatever it's called. That bullshit show with those know-nothings. but I watched that for a few minutes, and I went through you know, some news blurbs online, and just, you know, made like a couple of notes of it. But that's it. That's all I've done so far. Yeah, it's going to be awful. But really, what that does is it kind of frees me from trying to nerd it out with, you know, a bunch of prepared, you know, plans and whatever, and just I'll go with my gut and pick what I think and kind of it'll make me be more in the moment when the auction is happening. So I'm not terribly worried about it. And I've never done well in a draft. It's always the in-season management, which I also don't have any time for this year. But it's, you know, I'm not terribly worried about it. But I wanted to talk about something else. Unless you guys wanted to talk more, what else do you want to talk about my fantasy football league?
Go ahead.
No, okay. That was already nine times more than I wanted to even get to.
Well, last night I was up late because Laura and I were watching a TV show that one of my fantasy football buddies recommended. Actually, that's not right. Not one, four of them.
Oh,
yeah. One of the guys is.
Are you all right?
Okay.
You okay? You okay, Andy?
Thank you. Okay, so one of the guys that's in this league is, he runs this movie review website called Pajiba. And he liked this TV show that was on, and he recommended it to another guy, Dan, who is a screenwriter, who recommended it to my other buddy, Thor, who I've talked to you about before, mm-hmm. A good friend of mine. And he works for, he's done screenwriting and so forth, but now he works for an online company. And then he told another guy in the group who was a screenwriter and involved in the industry. They all four basically contacted me and said, you guys got to watch the show. You have to watch the show. It's great.
What is it?
It's called Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jason Sudeikis.
Right.
Oh, is that the soccer coach?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Based on a character he did for NBC Sports
like 7 years ago.
I just started seeing promos for it this week, but go ahead.
It's so formulaic and by the numbers modern comedy, but it has so much heart that... Have you seen it all, Larry?
I've seen a little bit of it because I'm a big Jason Sudeikis fan, and I saw him doing some press for it where he talked about, you know, they created the character to not be just a simpleton, that he actually did have, you know, that he was just always a happy guy, that it was so there was so there he's not being mocked. Do you want to tell people the premise of it?
Yeah, the premise is this. Jason Sudeikis is a, you know, the 30-something coach, a football coach in like level two, you know, double A college football, coaches 1 year, and he takes that team to the championship. And there's, you know, they show a little blurb of his players celebrating after a victory, and you know, he's doing pops and locks in the locker room, and they're all gathered around him. You can see that they really, really love him. You know, it's like it's a real cohesive, loving environment. And he's just this coach that cares more about people than about winning. And so he's hired to coach the Richmond AFC soccer team in London. And he's hired by this woman who just had a divorce. She just divorced the guy who owned it. And she gets control of it, and she hires Jason Sudeikis, this unknown coach, to come and coach it. And the reason she does, and I won't tell much more because I don't want to spoil it, but the reason she does is it's the one thing that her ex-husband really loved, so she wants to drive it into the fucking ground. But he comes, and I haven't
league.
Seen...
Yeah,
I've only,
major
yeah, I've only seen like 1.5 episodes, so I don't know what happens, but, you know, you can kind of see the possibilities, on the wall of maybe they do really great, or maybe they don't, and it doesn't matter. But anyway, the heart in it was... It's just really, really fun, and I get like 1 hour of TV a day. Happy to put the kids to bed, get my work done. I get like an hour
exactly,
and that hour coincides with my 1 hour private with Laura. So we usually try to find something that we want to watch together. And it's, you know, it's a Daily Show or Colbert or some show that we both like. And it's hard to find ones that we both dig. Because she'll watch some Call the Midwife horse shit that I just can't abide. which started out great. Call the Midwife was great in the first season when they had that hot nurse in it. Oh, God, it had my attention. But then it just jumped. The nun shark. Anyway.
Yeah, that's why they stopped watching The Crown, because the queen got old and it's like, all right, right? Well, lost my chubby, moved on.
Telling you. So anyway, I asked Laura if she'll watch this show with me. And she's like, what is it? And is it about football? I'm like, kinda.
Football.
She's like, but I tell her who's in it. And I said, it was Jason Sudeikis. She goes, oh, okay, I'll watch it. I'll try it. So we watch it. And she went to college in Richmond, in that town, in that part of London. She went to Richmond University, so Richmond College. So, double hooked in it. The show's a lot of fun. And
hey,
she went
quick,
to school.
Where is this at to be seen?
It's Apple Plus. Okay. Apple TV Plus. And the show's called Ted Lasso. But, yeah, so far, really, really enjoying it. That's all I had to say about that.
Delightful.
How do we get from? Oh yeah, fantasy football.
Andy, you know, I'm gonna tie in something. Watching something new, and your fantasy football league. Just tell you that right, literally 15 minutes before I joined this podcast, I wrapped up watching Wet Hot American Summer for the very first and only time
the movie?
In my life.
The movie?
Yes, yes.
God, you've never watched it before?
Never
and,
before.
And okay, so let me ask, without any prompting, what was your reaction?
I would have to say that is the only movie in my life that I liked that I'll never watch again. and some of my favorite parts were the absolute most stupidest.
I know.
They literally, like, the very first part that I laughed the hardest. Well, no, the very first part where I laughed the hardest was when he threw the little kid out of the van while it was moving. But the second part is when it was just, it was this 1 second shot where they were ending a scene and the cook walks up to the table and a burger comes flying out of the air and he catches it in a bun and he just acts like that normally happens. I mean, it was so dumb. It reminded me of, my wife sat down and I made her come in and watch it a couple times and she's like, I can't watch this. How do you watch this? I cannot watch this. And she got up and left. And it reminded me of another movie, except that is super, super stupid that nobody... It didn't really do good in the theater, but it is like one of the movies I watch every single time, and I'm curious on how you feel about it. But have you seen the movie Hot Rod?
Oh, so Andy Samberg. No, that's...
Andy Samberg.
That's kind of
become
a cult thing, too, where it was ravaged when it came out in theaters, and people have found it because it is so stupid dumb.
It's so stupid. Oh. And I was one of the things I was watching...
Stupid in a funny way, or
yes.
Just stupid?
In a classic Andy Samberg way, early Andy Samberg in Lonely Island way.
Yeah,
and like also, you know, you got Bill Hader and, you know...
And the dude that does the Eastbound and Down.
Shoot.
You know what I'm talking about? That guy's awesome.
It's
Danny McBride.
Yeah, there
yes,
we go.
Danny McBride. Yeah. But I was watching Wet Hot American Summer, and all I could sit there and think was, while I was watching, because you don't have to pay attention. You just sit there and watch. It's like, there's nothing. There's no plot. There's no plot. But I was wondering, I'm like, I would have loved to just sat in the room and listen to them pitch this movie.
Well, these guys, most
nothing,
of
it's just like, what is this
about?
It's
about nothing. Well, you know what it is? It's an homage to Meatballs. You know,
and
those
bad those summer 80s. Camp teen
yeah.
comedies.
I mean,
that's
everything that it is. But most of the people in there were in that show on MTV.
On The State.
The State.
Yeah.
That was early 90s? It was early 90s, I think, 91, 92.
Yeah.
That's a huge cast, too.
I thought that show was hysterical when it was on.
That group, you know, begat so many people that we know now.
Michael Ian Black.
Thomas Lennon.
Paul Rudd.
Right.
Paul Rudd wasn't on the show,
he wasn't,
was he?
But he was part of, he kind of was a fringe member of occasionally.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And so the cast in Wet Hot American Summer is all of those guys, plus Janine Garofalo, right. David Hyde Pierce, and there's
Amy Poehler.
Just like,
And Bradley Cooper, it was his first job. His first job.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. He was going to like the new school, the James Lipton school at the time. Wow. And oh, wow. It was his first real gig, and he was just this fresh faced little guy.
A couple of those lines, just like Christmas Vacation has become the I Ching for my home life. Yeah, you know, with all of the things that I do around the house, I have been called Clark Griswold more than one occasion by my wife. But are you sure you really want to do that, Andy? Ah, everything's going to be all right, honey. It's going to be fine. It's constant. But there are lines in there that, you know, have become part of our lexicon just on a daily basis. Yeah. Like, hey, if you're not doing anything constructive, Grizz, why don't you fetch me my stogie? the toilet gets plugged up. Shutter's full. All of that stuff. Yeah. You don't say any of this stuff around the kids, but where do you want me to put this? Bend over and I'll show you.
Yeah, that's a great drop for the radio, by the way.
It is. It's constant. But the same way, Wet Hot American Summer has a couple of those moments. One of them, David Hyde Pierce gets angry, and it's just an offhanded comment of, oh, fuck my cock.
Yeah. When he said that, I was like, I think I've heard Andy say that before.
Yeah. Imagining Niles Crane from Frasier saying, oh, fuck my cock.
I thought the highlight of the movie to me was Paul Rudd's overacting of a 16-year-old boy was just just how amazingly overdramatic he was with Aaron. Like she made him like go do something. And
go pick
slammed.
Up a can. Yeah. Yeah, I need you to pick that up. Janine Garofalo's.
The best is the reason the can was there is because he finished his meal and smashed it off the table and then was just sitting there. And she's like, "Are you going to go pick that up?" And then he has this gigantic hissy fit. Yeah. To go pick up the can. And that's the scene. That's the scene.
It's the total scene. The other thing I love in there is when they go into town. Oh, it's time to go into town. Yeah. So they all get in the van and they go into town. And they have, it's like, you know, the summer of love.
It turns into train spotting.
Yeah, somebody has a baby. Somebody takes brown acid. You know, all of these things happen in this long, long montage of stuff that, you know, would have taken years to complete. And then on the way back, they're like, it's nice to get into the city every now and then. Yeah, even if only for a half hour or so. You know, so anytime we're doing something, Lara's like, oh, it was nice to get out of town and go do this. I said, yeah, even for just a half hour or so. So yeah, there are a couple of lines of Wet Hot American Summer that are just sublime. But yeah, I'm glad. And that's, for people that don't know, that's the name of my fantasy football league. The Wet,
that's
wet
why
Hot.
Got tied all together.
Well, Josh, Wet Hot Fantasy Football League.
Josh, you'll also be happy to know that just a few years ago, they did a follow-up Netflix series Wet Hot American Summer with all the same actors still playing the same age they played
on Netflix,
and they were already too old to play the ages they were playing at the time, and it is on Netflix. It's like a 6 or 8 part series, and everybody comes back. It's also spectacular.
I'm gonna have to give it a little bit of time before I dive back into that.
I love that idea though, Andy, of because we have some family jokes too from movies that people may or may not know or care about, but we have such inside jokes. Like, what if for some reason a movie we kind of, Charlotte and I especially, got ourselves attached to is So I Married an Axe Murderer with Mike Myers. But there's just lines in it, like his Scottish accent is like, "Heed down!" yelling at the kid with the giant head. He's like, oh, there he goes, just running to bed to cry himself to sleep on his enormous pillow. And we're always throwing shit. There's also, speaking of Jason Sudeikis, there is a great line from a terrible movie. Do you guys remember The Rocker with Rainn Wilson?
Yes.
he's a guy who tries to, you know, start a band at much too late of an age.
That's his that was his first kind of
like starring role.
Exactly.
And Jason Sudeikis plays like a smarmy, slimy producer, which he does so well. And they do a take of a song, and he's in the booth, and he says, "John Lennon is rolling over in his grave to hide the giant boner you just gave him." That's the only line in the movie that made me go, So I say that, you know, from time to time, just randomly.
I have ones that I say from when Cindy's driving all the time, is from the wonderful film Days of Thunder. I always say, pick a line, Cole, pick a line. and if she gets too close to a car, I'll be like, Rubin's racing, Cole.
Oh my God. Shut up. That's great.
That's it. Get in the car. Get in the car.
Yeah, I need to think of more of those, because it's stuff that then, you know, Silas will say, what is that? What's that from? What are you guys talking about?
Nothing. Maybe we shouldn't tell.
Can't tell you.
We also have, and this, I'm not self touting this, but we also have jokes that we make from a movie I made like 20 years ago, a little mockumentary I made that the family loves and was a huge hit at two households in Encino. But they quote that to me all the time. And then if it's ever around people, I have to go, okay. It's a mockumentary I made in 2001. And it's just a pain in the ass. But it strokes my ego.
What I love is that I'm looking at Larry and he's got a, you know, fake background.
Got a virtual screening room here.
Yeah, virtual screening room there. And what's great is, you know, the AI of the, of where it, you know, cuts around your silhouette, around the shape of your body.
Yeah.
It looks like you have a miniature fro.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the George Jefferson.
Look at that.
Wheezy.
Yeah. I used this yesterday. I totally forgot I put this on here, but I was involved in the virtual Summerfest for the Cambria Film Festival yesterday. I was
one of
the hosts and judges, and I interviewed a couple of independent filmmakers. They were trying it out because the Cambria Film Festival, which they started a couple of years ago, is coming up again in February, and they just don't know, are we going to be in person? Are we going to be virtual? Is it going to be a combination of the two? So they kind of tried out this little mini fest. And so this was my backdrop so that when I interviewed these nice filmmakers, they didn't see Charla's clothes hanging in the back.
Did anybody start singing, "Well, the beans don't fry in the griddle, the chicken don't fry"?
I did not wear my headphones yesterday, so all they saw was my balding pate. Thank you.
Deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yes, a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yeah.
They're moving on up. Hey, would you guys like to move on up to Yaflineville?
Yeah, that was a brilliant segue. Let's do it.
I was in radio for 31 years. Yeah. You don't think I learned a couple of good segues over time?
He said, right? No.
Well, for this first one, though, we're going to need a little intro.
Low energy bike. Mark. Low energy bike.
That does it. All right. You guys ready for this? Here we go. Oh, wait. Before the phone number, if you ever want to call, the YAF line is 626-657-6428 or OAMUCKPMHAT. OAMUCKPMHAT. Now you know. Dun, 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 dun.
Hey, Ambers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Clarifications were asked for, so here goes. The Hot Lake Hotel complex started being developed in 1864. Yep, that was before I was born. The existing hotel started construction in 1901 and was the first commercial building in the world to have its primary heating source be geothermal. Anyway, a large portion of the hotel burned in 1934. I'm thinking this portion of the hotel was served by the clay tile pipe that ended up pouring 180-degree hot water into the trench that I was digging. We had already crossed the pipe that was feeding the current heating system for the hotel, which is a wood pipe wrapped with wire. So I wasn't expecting another main water line. Especially one made of clay. The sort of clay that flower pots are made out of. Anyway, there's a drain line out of the main spring box that drains into the lake. The valve on said line looks like a rusted, corroded lump of metal and will never operate. This valve is so corroded it barely resembles a valve. So that's what this hot water man knows. Talk to you later. Google Hot Lake Hotel.
All right.
Google Hot Lake Hotel.
You can play the outro?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That was Low Energy Mike. That was Low Energy Mike.
Thank you for the reminder.
I just, all I'm going to say is wood pipe.
What?
Wood pipe. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, that was so heavy on genuine, sincere detail that almost
This is. I know what you're saying. You're saying you felt like there might have been cross contamination there, right? Like he was veering into Long. What's that guy's name?
George from Long Beach.
Yeah, Long Beach George territory. Maybe yes. maybe there's a feud brewing.
Maybe they're the same person.
Oh, jeez.
Well, good. Then maybe we can just get one call a week.
No, we got one from George, too. Here you go.
Of course we do. You guys ready for this? Did we give him an assignment last week?
This is George from Long Beach with NASCAR news. Breaking news. Jimmy Johnson, seven-time champion, will not be going for an eighth championship. He failed to make the playoffs after being crashed out at Daytona. Timer will just be happy to have seven-time championships. That is all. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
Whoa.
Oh, hold up.
Oh, George. When has anybody ever asked George for anything other than last week's Native American burial debacle?
Hey, this is Josh, and this weekend in this week in animal husbandry.
Wait! Don't look.
I don't remember any NASCAR requests. Do we?
George has decided to bring to the table whatever it is he has. Let's look on the bright side here. Clearly, he's listening. Clearly, he's taking note of our responses. That was by far the most succinct message unless I blacked out for like 2 minutes and I wasn't aware. Okay, that was short, right?
The word economy. Yes. I'll give it an A+ for word economy.
Absolutely.
I thought it was self-edited and very succinct.
Gift horse in the mouth, Josh. Careful now, you know.
It was the biggest
It was point taken.
That's all I'm going to say is NASCAR.
Yeah, but nobody gives a crap about his fascia and his frickin' misters either, but we got to listen to that bullshit every week.
It was the biggest non sequitur in the history of the podcast, but I do appreciate the brevity.
I sincerely doubt that's the case, by the way.
I watched a football game yesterday. It was on TV.
What?
A college football game.
Austin P.
Austin PA. How do you say? Is it Austin P or Austin PA?
I call it Austin P because that sounds like somebody's peeing.
But it was pretty weird to watch. Did you watch any of it?
I don't have access to live TV of anything right now.
I just saw that it was on because I was scrolling through and I'm like live, and I put it on. And, like, the refs, they don't blow whistles anymore. They press a button on their belt that blows a whistle on, like, the sideline.
Yeah, apparently one of the first gaffes of the game was the referee. I guess there was, like, a 76-yard touchdown reception or kickoff reception or something. And over the broadcast, you heard a ref who's still trying to get used to the new procedure say, "A goddamn mask." Barely made it to air. So there are some bugs to work out. But
let me get this straight. You said they press a button and it blows a whistle or a sound effect.
Yeah, because they're trying to keep them from blowing or taking their masks off.
I get it. Yeah. So what happens, though, if there is not there's a malfunction and they press the button and the whistle doesn't actually sound? That could affect the outcome of the game.
Of course it could. And that's definitely going to happen.
And they had this other thing that it was kind of cool. It was kind of unique that this was a change that was applied that had nothing to do with COVID, but it looks like they have a I don't know what football league this is. Austin, PA. It could be the screw yourself conference South. You know,
it's a tiny conference.
Right. But they had a judge up in the skybox that was literally just watching for hurt players or players that looked like they got concussed. And when they saw something, they pressed a button and a whistle automatically got blown on the sidelines. So they didn't even have to communicate to the referee to blow the whistle. They just pressed a button and it blew the whistle and everybody stopped. Like the referees had to stop and figure out what was going on.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow. So that was I thought that was kind of cool. In fact, that if they apply that to like the NFL, when there are seriously concussed players,
yeah,
you won't have to do that one little step. It's like, right, all they have to do is just go like that and the whistle is blown.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a new efficiency built into it. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. By the way, watching the whatever that bullshit show was about football, fantasy football, last night, I was seeing the training camps and how things were going on the training camps. It really does look like, you know, all of the extra crew, you know, the managers and the coaches and everybody are all wearing masks and keeping apart from each other and, you know, doing their best to be responsible in how they're going about it.
Yeah, but I mean, how many players are on a football team and they're all mashing their faces together?
All I'm saying is, you know, last 10 days, there have been zero new infections in the NFL. So,
see, you know, that's 10 days.
That could be lucky, or it could, you know, be the matter of fact that they're all, you know, kind of quarantining together. But so far, I don't know.
It's scary.
Just saying.
I think it would improve the game if we could talk to anybody in the official, you know, kind of the officials' camp and see if they could replace the whistle sound with. That would get some attention, I think. Yeah,
I bet Sam could get in touch with Mike Carey about that.
We got to ask him.
See if we can make a change.
Why aren't we doing a morning show and just famous right now? Why aren't we? This is gold, right? Am I wrong?
The heave definitely would have been in the promo for the afternoon. For sure. Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
By the way,
his name is Larry Morgan. That's Josh Fligger. I'm Andy Chanley. And Sam
Farmer
is
on assignment. Yeah, that's right. We got a little distracted. Check me out on Instagram, the Larry Morgan. Also look for Larry Morgan on Facebook, and eventually, probably a year from now, I will allow your friend request. It takes me a while. Hey, Josh, how about you?
Josh, where should some people send pictures of bile?
You can email me how bad my audio is at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
Oh boy. Yeah, there was a new problem today. Yeah. It was kind of the level was got really low a couple of times, yeah. It's gonna be a real joy to try to go in forensically and fix that.
That might just be a Zoom thing.
How about next week? I'll just join the Zoom and I'll just shut the fuck up for the whole show. Just stare at you.
Why don't you learn Morse code from George, and you could do your part.
Yeah, George, actually, if you could give us your analysis.
All right, let's end the show.
Your audio analysis. Hey,
Andy, go ahead, play.
Where should people get a hold of you? Do it.
At Andy Chanley on Instagram. Also, DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook, and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter.
Hey, and I'd like to, you know, thank everybody for all the NASCAR news. We'll see you guys at the races. Go ahead. Take it out, Andy.
Check your flag, buddy. People that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships, and tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
There you go. Yeah. Hey.
Good time.
Don't puke on yourself.
Robin's racing, Cole.